Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Praise the Light, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight, and the destiny, the call, the purpose of God for our life, where we see the demonstration of the Word of God, the life and the truth and the power of God moving in our life in such a way that we become the light to someone else, we become the salt for someone else, we become the encouragement for someone else as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we are changed line upon line, precept upon precept, glory to glory, hype to hype, depth to depth, as we apply the word by faith and walk by faith and the will of God, we see God manifest his power in us and through us in a way that we know only God can do. He's the one that chooses unlikely people for his purpose and his plan, and he anoints us so that when we go out in the name that is above every name, and we win in the name that is above every name for his glory, and lives are changed because of us. Someone else is encouraged in their walk of faith. Someone else lives in the faith that we display, and we know that it's to be the truth. Someone else is saved and delivered and set free because of that. And it's amazing because as we live, even through our everyday circumstances, situations, difficulties, and we show God's love, God's word, we show them that God is alive and his love is alive and he's real, that we don't live as the world, but we live in the power of God by faith, and we display him to a world who does not know or see him unless they see him through us. So it's amazing how God uses us and how he uses us for his glory. We've been looking at unlikely places of blessing, places in our lives of those who those people we study in the Bible, and we see how God took them through an unlikely place where they could not see their way out, could not see even a blessing, but God uses that place to be a stage, a setup for their life, and he blesses them in spite of the circumstance or themselves, and he uses it as an overcoming testimony, and not only blesses them, but he also blesses that nation. He blesses the nation of Israel. He blesses the people of Israel. He blesses the household of the person that who he used to be the example for someone else. So God uses unlikely places in our life to be a blessing. We started off with Esther. We started off seeing her exile and how God uses her and allows her to be in a place where she's a great deliverance. Then we went to Joseph and we went to Jacob, and now we're in the book of David, looking at David in 1 Samuel to see his life and how he's being prepared for leadership, and it's an unlikely place of blessing. So we're going to go back there and we're going to hear some more encouragement and empowerment in this 15 minutes so that you yourself can see yourself or see how God is going to use this place to be that place of a blessing as he prepares you for leadership, prepares you for something greater. Yesterday we stopped and left off talking about how Saul stood head and shoulders over everyone in his country. He was very tall, but yet he is the person who should have been qualified to go out and fight Goliath, to go out and oppose the one who's talking about not only the nation of Israel and his kingdom, but his God. But he himself was afraid. And he was afraid because the Spirit of the Lord had lifted off of him, and now he no longer has the assurance that God is with him. And you must understand, you must be assured in our walk, in our Christian walk, whatever you face, because the Spirit of the Lord does not come upon us like it did in the days of old. He now lives inside of us. We must be assured, you must be assured that God is with you. No matter what you're facing, he is with you. The enemy, the circumstance, and even fear will try to tell you that you're all alone. Even when you're praying, sometimes the enemy will try to make it feel as if God doesn't hear you, he doesn't respond to you, and that your prayers are going no higher than the ceiling. But you must know by faith that God hears you, that he lives inside of you if you are a believer, and that you've been born again by the Spirit of God, washed in the blood of Jesus, and you know that, then you know that you have access to God, that you are seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The moment that you begin to pray, the moment you begin to talk to the Lord, because of the Spirit of God that lives in you through the Holy Ghost, you have access to the heavenly host to the throne of God, to everything that is in heaven, and that God hears you, responds to you, and acts for you. So don't allow the enemy to make you believe that you're in this all by yourself, that God is not with you. He's there as a very present help in the time of trouble, and he's responding to your he's responding to your cry. He is moving on your behalf. He's already worked it out for your good because he knows the end from the beginning, and he's already worked out all the in-between. Our faith says we believe God. Our prayers say we trust him, and our rejoicing lets us know that we are assured that it's going to come to pass in our lives. So we see that the Spirit of the Lord is lifted off of Saul. He is not confident anymore. He's not in a place where he understands God's will anymore because he can't feel or hear from God. But it's because of his own disobedience that he was put in this predicament. So we must make sure that we always obey God. And when we fail, we must run immediately to that mercy seat, to that grace, and pray for forgiveness because God is a merciful God, and ask him to try us again and wash us and cleanse us. And we understand that God will do that. So we want to make sure we're always in that place. Goliath stood 9 feet tall, 9 feet, 9 inches tall. He had a helmet of bronze. Mostly that time, the men wore helmets made of leather, but he had a helmet of bronze, and it was very bright, and it was very large and shiny, and this was a scare tactic. Everything that he had on was made of bronze. It was made very shiny so that it blinded people in battle, that they could, that the caliber of his height of who he was made him appear even taller, even larger, even more fearful. And this is something that the enemy will do. He will try to make circumstances in your life, chances around you or predicaments around you look larger, appear more brighter, shine or stand out more, and that you are smaller, that you see yourself as a grasshopper instead of the one that God has said that the victory is already yours, that you're an overcomer in this life, that he's already caused you to triumph in this life and in the life to come. So the enemy will try to make it appear that you are so small and this thing is so great. But you better know that the same God that saved you and delivered you, the same God that had the power to set you free from the enemy, from hell, from generational curses, from eternal damnation, is the same God that has the power to deliver you, to set you free, to make a way for you, to give a breakthrough, a healing, a deliverance, a change, a creative idea. He's the same God, and he's well able to do exceedingly above all that you ask, think, or even imagine. So you cannot allow your flesh, the circumstance of fear that is trying to present itself in a larger manner, to even come and make you feel like God is not with you, God is not for you, and God cannot solve your problem. It is nothing impossible with God. There is nothing that he cannot do. He cannot lie. He cannot fail. So if he can't lie and he cannot fail, then everything that you've asked and prayed for by faith, and rejoiced and praised him for, knowing that it's already done, and you expectantly wait on, you will see the manifestation of those things in your life. He will not fail you, and that's what you must count and believe. His word is fail-proof. It will manifest in your life. It will be everything that God says. He will do everything that he says. All we have to do is trust and believe, live and walk by faith, trusting, knowing that God is faithful because he promised. Now we see that even everything that he had on his coat, his armor, or everything he had was oversized. So we know that there's no weapon that the enemy could ever form that would prosper against us. He can try all the tactics he wants, but it's not going to work because we have already been assigned victory through Christ Jesus in the name and in the blood of the Lamb. So God is our fortress, our mighty strong tower. The army was overwhelmed by Goliath, but they had an overcoming testimony. They had the past testimony of their forefathers that they continue to talk about, believe, and stand in. They had the victories that God had given them, even while Saul was king. They had all of these things in their favor, but yet they had forgotten about the hand of God, the power of God, the will of God, and they allowed one man to intimidate them. They allowed one man when God had already promised that the land of the Hittites belonged to them. He had already promised them that the land of the Amorites belonged to them. He had already promised them that the land of the Philistines belonged to them. Everything that God said in that Canaan place belonged to them. So they were in the place of possessing, where the generation of Joshua did not possess all. God was still doing the same thing, allowing them to have victory in these areas because the land belonged still to the promised children. And God was still giving them that victory. He did not kill out all of their enemies because they would always forget God. So God would always allow an enemy to be there so that they would depend on him, rely on him, and trust in him, because as soon as all their enemies were gone, or as soon as things got good, they forgot about acknowledging God. They forgot about praising him and worshiping him, giving him glory. They went into their own way, lived their lives, and did what they wanted to do. And we have to always remember to never, ever stop giving God glory, honor, and praise, no matter where we find ourselves. If everything in our life is going good and we have a season or there's overflowing blessings, we need to take that time and use every single day to thank God, because there will be a day that you are going to go through a season of battle, a season of trying, a season of testing, a season of difficulty, because every season in your life will happen and manifest something else. So those times when we know that God has been faithful and good are the times that we need to praise him the more, so that when we hit those battles, we can go back and remember what God has done, and our praise didn't stop, our worship didn't stop, our giving didn't stop in the season of where there was rest, and we just continue to do it. And when we hit the season where we've been tried, we're just going and we're pulling what we already know, what we've already been doing, being thankful unto him, even in the time that we don't understand. Job said, he knows the way that I take. God knows every place, every step you're at, and he knows exactly when and how he's going to bring you out. But can you be faithful in worshiping and praising and thanking God and trusting him in the times when you don't see the way, in an unlikely place, because he's preparing you for something greater? David was being prepared for something greater, but he had to go through the process, and the process is not easy. That process is going to cause you to be stripped. It's going to cause you to be made, crushed. It's just going to cause you to see God, learn of him, know of him, get an understanding, get wisdom, knowledge, not just to deal, but it's going to make you so that you'll be prepared for where God is going to plant you and let you flourish. You have to understand that. That process is an ongoing process, because we never just get someplace and God and just remain. We're always growing and maturing and increasing in our faith and in our walk and in our trust in him. So we're going to always be at a place where we have a process, but we have to allow that process to have its perfect work in us. That work is the work of his will, not ours. And as we allow it to happen in our life, he's cutting away more and more of us, more mindsets, attitudes, actions, deeds, words. Because every time you grow higher in your walk of faith, every time you increase or go to another level, everything on that level must be tried. It must be authenticated. It must be real. It must be that true anointing, and not something that you looked at someone else and took from someone else or polished from someone else. It must be genuine, because it's flowing from a vessel that has been tried and authenticated in that anointing, so that when you stand purified with a worship, with a praise, with a word, with life, with release, with power that tells the atmosphere and every circumstance, I come in the name of the Lord, and I have been proven by him. By the testing, he's added to me and given to me, so that when I stand knowing that what I say, what I do, he backs me in power. So we see that Jesse had three sons that were there fighting. David was the youngest of the eight, and here he is. He alone is the only one that is inquiring about this Philistine. I don't have any more time today, but we'll be back tomorrow, and we're going to finish up this portion, and then we're going to go to the next part of our lesson where it talks about when you're doing a good work, how you are despised by people. And that is going to be very interesting, because many of us struggle and stumble in that place. I'm Pastor Cheryl Baxter. Thank you so much for joining me today for Faith Light. The prophets are there where we walk by faith and not by sight. Believe and know that God has something greater for you, and you've been prepared for something that's greater than your circumstance. Have a great and wonderful day, and expect to see the goodness of the Lord in your life and in your day.